We forego the handshaking, just try to cut down some of the germs for a few weeks. Genesis chapter 49 this evening. I didn't make mention, but we do have a business meeting just right after service tonight. We started last week here in Genesis 49, looking at as Jacob dying, and he brings his children into him to tell them what's getting ready to take place. So we read here in verse number 1, it says, Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Here's your pop quiz. What is last days? Who does it have to do with? Always Israel. It's always prophetic. It's always to do with what's coming up with the nation of Israel during that tribulation period in the millennial time. When you read it in the Word of God. Now, again, I know we like to say, well, we've got to be in the last days. And I understand when you say that. But really, biblically, that part of last days is to the nation of Israel. So just something to think about as you make those statements. So here Jacob's calling in. He says, this is what's going to take place. And boy, what a truth here. How God, again, just the thought of drawing those 12 boys together. And again, we know that God's not done with the nation of Israel. There will be that drawing together once again to the nation of Israel come together there. Verse 2, gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. Notice also, again, we see that dual naming there of Jacob and Israel. Jacob being the fleshly side, Israel being the spiritual side. Verse number 3, firstborn, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Boy, I'm sure he was pretty puffed up at that moment. I'm the big dog. And then here comes the busting of the bubble. Verse 4, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, thou then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. And we looked last week at much of Reuben and the thought of what he was supposed to be and why he wasn't what he was supposed to be, what he lost, what he forfeited. And again, a great picture of us tonight and who we are and how we forfeited so much of what God's given to us. And then I was hoping to get Simeon and Levi in last week, but it just didn't work out. So we're going to do Simeon and Levi tonight. And then I don't want to jump into Judah next, because Judah's going to take a little bit of time too. So we're just going to do Simeon and Levi tonight. But verse number 5 is where we begin tonight. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, under their assembly. Mine honored, be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So let's pray, and we'll look at these two fellows here by the name of Simeon and Levi. Father, we love you. Sure, thank you again, Lord, for another day. And God, I know it's been a hectic day around our neck of the woods, but God, it is a joy to be able to come together once again in this place. And Lord, I know it's the middle of the week. I know people are tired. I know they've faced a lot of opposition so far. And God, I just ask you for the next little bit, God, would you help us? God, just to try to glean here out of this field. I pray, Lord, you'd feed us tonight. Lord, I know if you don't speak to hearts, if you don't draw, Lord, it will not be anything accomplished, but I'm glad your word, God, tonight will go forth. And I'm glad tonight, Lord, it will not return void. Lord, I do pray, God, Lord, should be their youngins tonight. God, I pray that you'd help them tonight as they're in their classes. I pray that you'd just speak to their hearts. God, thank you for all that you're doing for us, Lord, and we'll praise you for what you do for us. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Here we see again, we looked at Reuben. Now we're going to look at verse 5, Simeon and Levi. And notice it says here that Simeon and Levi are brethren. Well, duh, they're brothers. Why did God link these two together? Because they were like fellows. Not only were they physically, fleshly kin, but they were like fellows. And I know we have two children, and they're as opposite as night and day. But sometimes you have children that they're a lot alike. And here we have Simeon and Levi that God says they are brethren, not just brethren in the flesh, but they're brethren in the thoughts of the way they respond. And he says they're instruments of cruelty and in their habitations. And what we find here is we have these two fellows that God has linked together because of their personalities. And what a terrible picture of who they are. Notice the descriptions of what we see here, these two men. He says their instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Verse 6, about halfway down, says, in their anger they slew a man. In their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. Not very good characteristics here of two fellows that should be a little better than what we see. And as we look at these men tonight, these two men, I don't want to give the cat out of the bag really quick, but in this I see a great truth of decisions that we must be made. You know, tonight, we're all wired different. We all have personalities. Some people actually have anger issues. You know, the Bible says, be angry and what? And sin not. So it's not the anger part that is the problem. It's what you do with that anger. And in these two boys here, these two men, I see both sides of that anger. And we'll see that in just a little bit. Notice what the Bible says here, and I take every word part for word. Look at verse number 5 when it describes these two men. Verse 5 says, Simeon and Levi are brethren. Notice that next phrase, instruments of cruelty. And I couldn't help but think tonight that thought of instruments. Tonight is, and again, these are brethren. These are two of the 12. These are the nation of Israel. These are those ones that are going to come back together there in the book of Revelation. These are those ones that God has done something very special for. And I say that tonight, that God describes these two men as what? Instruments. And tonight, can I say tonight, as we are, and again, we're not Israel, we're the church. Be very careful as you read your Bible not to put the church in Israel and Israel in the church. They are separate. But we see two men here tonight that God has given us a terrible description of their personalities or their traits. But then he calls them instruments of cruelty. And tonight I want to encourage us tonight to think about what kind of instrument we are. Look with me over in 2 Timothy real quickly. Hold your place here in Genesis. We'll be right back over here. But I want you to understand tonight, we are instruments. God has left us here to be used. You're not here just to sit. You're not here just to flounder around. You are an instrument. And tonight, what kind of instrument are you? The Bible says here in 2 Timothy, look with me tonight, chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Bad when you're in 1 Timothy looking at chapter 2. That's not the right one. 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse number 20. The Bible says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some honor and some of dishonor. So tonight, as we look at that thought of a vessel as an instrument, God tells us tonight that there's all kinds of vessels in this building. What kind of vessel are we, though? Are we a vessel of honor, or are we a vessel of dishonor? But you're still a vessel. You don't lose your salvation. Praise the Lord for that. I'm glad tonight that as we look, think of these two men, and we're going to see the opposites of these two men here towards the end of this thing, but as we see these two men with these personalities, they are instruments. They're being used. And tonight we are instruments. And God has placed that wonderful gift of salvation in these earthen vessels. But what kind of instrument are you? Are you an instrument of honor or an instrument of dishonor? So we see here the terminology here of these two men, that they are instruments. And we see here again back in Genesis chapter 49 where Jacob tells here once again of their problem.
He says, again, Simeon, Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty, and are in their habitation. O my soul, come not thou into their secret or into their assembly. My honor be not united, thou united. For in, notice what they did. For in their anger, they slew a man. And in their self-will, they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. Now, what, again, we need to take time to, as you read your Bible, to go back and understand where these things are coming from. We looked last time when Jacob talks about Reuben, about how he laid how he defiled his father's bed. We went back and saw, well, yeah, he did that. So here, Jacob and the Word of God tells us that Simeon and Levi, they killed a man. And it also says there that not only did they slew a man, but their self-will, they dig down a wall, and it cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. What did these two boys do? Well, look back just a few chapters to Genesis chapter 34. Why would God say that about them? We have the story of Dinah. And it says in verse 1, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. Now, if you were with us through our study, we looked at this and we know what took place here. And because of what they did, because of what happened here to their sister, it made them mad. And can I say tonight, you ought to get mad. It bothers me because things don't bother the church anymore. We've got so accustomed to the craziness of our day, and we got so accustomed. I was watching the news, which is not a good habit, but I do it. And they had a so-called preacher from somewhere down in South Carolina, the edge of Charlotte, some down there, and he's the pastor of some homosexual church, basically. And they got graffiti on the side of their building. He was talking about how all this shouldn't be and all that. Well, I just got mad because he was up there portraying something that he wasn't. He wasn't representing my God. But tonight, we have got so adaptive into this, well, you know, let them do what they do, let us do what we do. No, you've got to pick a side. You've got to, you know, the enemy's trying to come in and get our pea patch. You better stand ground and fight for your pea patch. So again, here, but the problem is, hold your place there in Genesis 34, we'll come back there. Go back to Genesis 49. What's the problem with what they did? Is it right to stand up for right? Of course it is. But the Bible says that we need to speak truth in what? Love. Notice, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but pay attention to what he says about their anger. Let me grab my glasses so I can see it. It's, verse 5, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret or into their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man. And notice, and in their self-will. Why did they do what they did? See, that's the key to doing the right thing. You can do the right thing in the wrong way, and guess what? It's wrong. Is what happened to Dinah, was that the right thing? No, what happened was wrong. But their mentality and the reasoning in their soul was for selfish reasoning. So go back over there to Genesis 34. We'll read through it, and then we'll come back there. And, verse 3, and his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel, and he spake kindly unto the damsel, and Shechem spake unto his father, Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with the cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come, and Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to commune with him. And again, Jacob, what a flounderer. commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be. And Hamor communed with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you, give her him to wife, and make ye marriages with us, and give your daughter unto us, and take our daughters unto you. And ye shall." And is that not what the world wants to do? Can't we just all get along? Can't we just all come together and be one? Well, no. I'm not you. Well, you just think you're better than me. No, I'm just saved. I am different. I belong to the Lord. If you'll get saved, you'll belong to the Lord. We can't mix this thing together. Verse 10, "And she shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell, take ye therein, and get your possessions therein. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, Let me find grace in your eyes. What ye shall say unto me, I will give. Ask me neither so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me. But give me the damsel to wife." And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully, and said, "Because he had defiled Dinah their sister." And they said unto them, "We cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. But is this will we consent unto you, if you will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised? And then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if you will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will you take our daughter, and we will be gone." And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came to the gate of their city and communed with the men of their city, saying, "These men are peaceable with us. Therefore let them dwell in the land and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for our wives, or for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent unto us to dwell with us, to be one people, and every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. Shall not their cattle and their subs and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us." And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son hearkened all that went out of the gate of his city, and every male was circumcised, and all that went out of the gate of his city. And it came to pass on the third day, where they were sore, the two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took each man his sword, and came upon the city boldly, and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah of Shechem's house, and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain, and spoiled the city, because they had defiled their sister. And they took their sheep and their oxen and their asses, that which was in the city and that which was in the field. So we see here exactly what Jacob is referencing to. Here as he brings in Simeon and Levi, what they did there spoke volumes of who they really are and what they are. And again, they are instruments. They are part of Israel. Don't forget that part. So again, we see here the reasoning there that Jacob draws their minds to this back in Genesis 49 of how cruel they are. And they took that sword for a purpose. That sword should be more of a defensive system than an offensive system. But they used it for gain. And it bothers me a lot of times to watch people that claim to know the Lord, how they misrepresent God. I hope that we don't do that. So back to Genesis 49. Again, we find these two boys, Simeon and Levi, brethren, like-minded, like-spirited. They got an anger issue. They did kill a man willfully by self-will. Notice their waste. They dig down a wall. It says in verse 7, "Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel." When again, we're going to look at this. Take your Bibles to Ephesians. We'll see this. The problem again was not so much the anger. It was the heart of the anger. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. We looked at it, we mentioned this earlier, but let me show it to you. The Bible says in verse number 26, it says, "And be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." So we see there is a rightful type of anger. Look here in the same chapter over in verse number 31. The Bible says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." So there's two sides of anger. You can have anger and sin not. Or you can have anger and sin, and God says you need to put that away. And in these two boys, I see both sides of that coin, and we'll show that forth here in just a little bit. But again, the whole problem was their attitude or their self-will of what they done. Look over in Judges chapter 1. Let me show you both sides of these two boys. And really, it's amazing to me. You follow their lineage, and we'll see some of that tonight, of how that anger, how that murdering spirit was on both sides of these men. What did Moses do? Did he not kill a man? See that spirit? That self-will. Judges chapter 1, we'll see a little bit about Simeon. Judges chapter 1, verse number 3. "And Judah said unto Simeon, his brother, come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee in thy lot. So Simeon went with him." They have that attitude of fighting. And again, I believe the church needs to have an attitude of fighting. Again, we shouldn't just sit back and say, well, you know, God says it's going to be that way. He didn't say it's going to be that way for the church. We need to stand up for truth. We don't want to allow every little thing in this place. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Well, preacher, it's going to make them mad. Wouldn't you rather make them mad than not tell them the truth? Tell the truth in love. So we see on Simeon, they had that attitude, that spirit of fighting. Look over in 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 4. First Chronicles chapter 4, verse number 42. "And some of them, even to the sons of Simeon, 500 men, went to Mount Seir, having to their captains Pelita, Nera, and Rephaim, and Uzal, the sons of Ishi, and they smote the rest of the Amalekites." Fighting men. They were known for their mindset of not being afraid to fight. And again, there's nothing wrong with the fighting part if it's done for the right reason. Now, I mentioned it last week in closing, but I didn't say it tonight. Let me say it again. When you look at, again, as we see Jacob drawing the attention to the spirit of these boys, I believe it was probably Simeon that purposed to kill Joseph. If you remember, it was Simeon that he put in jail. Again, it's that spirit of hate, that spirit of cruelty, that spirit of murder. Let's look at a little bit of the Levi side. Look in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. We won't take time to do all that reading tonight, but we know this is where Moses has gone up on the mountain to be with the Lord. And we know how Aaron has wallowed and gave in and made that
molded image there, and the noise comes up to Moses and to God, and Moses comes down and finds them. Let's begin in verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain. The two tables of testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, one on the one side and the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God. Always remember that. And the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, This is the noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but is the noise of them that sing, do I hear. Makes me think of that message that preacher preached about music. People say, well, don't matter about that music as long as it says something about God. Music plays to this world and to the flesh. And here's something about that noise. Verse 19, it came to pass as soon as he came nigh to the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. What's he got? He's angry. Bothered him. Is he going to bother you one day and you walk in here and you see we've brought in a different Bible? Hope it does. If it does, fire me first. Or shoot me, that'd be even better. Let me ask you something, and I'm not saying this to be mean, but I've watched this over the years. We've laid the banner down. We don't respect the things of God like we used to in our way we dress. Oh, you don't have... God says you do. The way we talk, the way we fellowship, the things that we do in and out of the church, it matters. As Brother Jonathan said the other night at the men's meeting, we're ambassadors. When I got saved, I became an ambassador instantly. Verse 19, it came past as soon as he came nigh to the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and the Moses' anger was waxed hot, and he cast his tables out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in fire and ground it in powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel to drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not thine anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. And they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire. And there came out this calf. Boy, he was a liar, wasn't he? And when Moses saw that the people were naked, what was their problem? Quit serving God, and what happened? Got naked, didn't he? Under their shame among their enemies. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? And that's where I want to stand. If you're with the Lord, I'm with you. But if you're not with the Lord, I ain't with you. Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all, notice here, and all of the sons of who? Levi. Gathered themselves together unto him. And notice what happens. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and what? Slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Levi. All the way back to what God said here in Genesis chapter 49. He was able to fight. He had a brutishness about him that he could stand and kill his own brethren. Now see, most of us today, if God was to say that to us, and he hasn't said that, so don't get nervous. Most of us have got so, what's the right word? Soft. Can you imagine how hard it must have been to pull your sword out and kill 3,000 of your own? But that's what God told him to do. Now, God's not telling us to go out and kill them. He is telling us to go out and tell them the truth, though. Vengeance is His. He will repay. One other place. Go to Numbers. Numbers chapter 25. See, and I know in the time that we're living right now, this is not the norm. Sort of like I tried to preach this past Sunday morning. You know, God is a God of love, but He's also a God of wrath. And we've got such a mindset of this mentality is we don't think out of the Word, we think out of the heart. That gets you in trouble. God's ways aren't my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. His are higher. And again, well, preacher, don't you believe? Boy, I'm glad God has grace, mercy, long-suffering. But He's not going to change the truth for no man. Not for me, not for you. So, just as we saw with Moses, he drew a line in the sand. If you're with God, get over here. If you're not, the wrath of God's a coming. Same thing today. Why would it be any different? Numbers chapter 25. Look at verse number 5. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal-peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Mennonite woman in the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the congregation, the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle in the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, and he took a javelin in his hand, and went after the man of Israel into the tent, and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. What happened? Sin was in the camp. One of the sons of Levi jumps up and says, I'll take care of it. That's where we need to get to the place of. Again, I'm not jury and judge. The Bible is the jury and the judge. But we've got to be willing to stand up when nobody else will stand. Because it's right. Amen. Preacher, God's not that way. He just killed 3,000 of his own. Apparently he is that way. Go back to Genesis real quickly. We'll run through a few more things and we'll be done this evening. I think this is a great truth here tonight that notice verse 5 again of Genesis 49. Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, into their assembly, in mine honor. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. And then verse number 7. Cursed be what? Not cursed be them. What was the problem?
Anger.
What are you saying, preacher? When we see people that are wrong, and this is hard, we many times hate the person, not the sin. Here we find Jacob curses the sin, not the people. We must be very mindful that we too were sinners, and we still are sinners, we're still in the flesh. We're just sinners saved by grace if you're saved tonight. But he cursed the anger. It's the sin that's the problem. Notice also verse number 6 of Jacob. He says, O my soul, come not thou into their secret. He's showing forth. Where's he at this point? He's on his deathbed. He wants to be clean. He says He don't have anything to do with what they've done. And tonight, church, we can't have anything to do with the things of this world and the sins of this world. We should try to be as far away from those things as possible. Don't even nudge up against it. If it's in your house, get it out of your house. If it's in your life, get it out of your life. Real quickly this evening, we'll finish with this. Notice back here the prophecy of what was given to these two boys. Verse 7, cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. He says, because of your anger, because of that self-will, because you're so cruel that how you killed those people and how you manipulated that situation and how you tore down that city for no reason and all those things that you did out of the wrong spirit, out of the wrong heart. Because of that, we're going to divide you and scatter you. And guess what happened to them? Exactly that. When you follow out the lineage of Simeon, you'll find Joshua gives out the land, that's the tribe of Simeon is given really no land. They're completely surrounded by Judah, and as time goes, they all filtrate into Judah. So they really have no place of their own. They're all scattered all about. And then Levi. Now again, this is what's interesting to me. We know who are the Levites? They're the priestly ones. But what a judgment we just hear about who God uses as those priestly ones. But they too were scattered. They too lost. In fact, the Levites had no land. They were given portions of 48 cities of refuge scattered throughout the whole land. So what God said happened just like He said it would happen. And I told you in the beginning that I saw something very interesting in this thought. Here you have Simeon. Here you have Levi. We follow Simeon all throughout the Old Testament, all the way into the book of Revelations. We'll find that. How that spirit of brutalness, how that spirit of anger, that self-will, how it followed them all through their days. And how God did exactly what He said, and they were given nothing. But then we have the people of Levi. And we see that same curse has been put upon them, and they too had no land of their own. They were scattered about throughout the promised land. They had those cities of refuge. But something happened to them. God used them. And I think what made the difference was what we read there when Moses came off that mountain and said, if you're for God, get over here. And they took that spirit of anger and used that spirit of anger in not a sinful way, and stood with that angerness and let God use that for His honor and His glory. So my question tonight is, again, we're all wired different. You might be here tonight and you've got the anger problem. Sometimes I get angry. When I worked third shift, I woke up every day mad. I knew I had to constantly tell myself not to bite my youngin's heads off, because why? I'm working third shift. I was just mad anyway. But I knew that was in me. I knew it was a problem. But tonight I'm saying it's not so much that and again, God made us that way. God made us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. These boys had that anger inside of them, but it's not so much that anger that was inside of them. It's how they used that anger. One used it for self-will. The other turned that and gave it to God, and God used that characteristic. And we see the generation of the Levite running down through history, and God used them in a priestly way. Why? I believe because they used what God gave them for His glory. Look with me in the book of Deuteronomy.
And if you can get anything out of tonight, I hope it's this fact tonight, is you can't help how you're made. You've got characteristics that's just the way you're wired. Well, why don't God take it away? God don't just take it away, but He gives you a means of escape. It's teaching you and training you to deal with these things. Look here in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verse 26 of chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, it says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I commanded you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known." What's he saying? He's saying, I've set before you a blessing or a cursing. It's your choice with what you do with it. And God has set before you, you can sit there and say, well, I can't help it. That's just, no, you can help it. You can choose to take whatever you are or whoever you are and let God have that trait and let God use that for His honor and glory. Or you can sit there and let that trait eat you and eat you and eat you and hurt other people because of it. He says, I've said it before you. What are you going to do with it? Look over in Joshua. We know these verses. Look in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, look at verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Then Joshua makes a statement, says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for the Lord our God, He is it that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of the bondage, which did those great signs in our sight, preserved us in all the way therein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. What's he saying? You got to make a choice. Simeon and Levi, yeah, God said, this is going to be your outcome. You're going to be divided and dispersed, and they were. But if you'll follow out that lineage of Levi, you'll see how God used them in a mighty way. Why? Because they took that trait of their cruelty, their anger, and let God have that, and God used that. You've got to choose what you do with who you are. Look, we're not perfect. I want to be a Christian. I want to be as much like Christ as I can, but I'm not in heaven yet, and neither are you, and I've not arrived yet, and neither have you, and we all have some things in us that you're either going to let the world use it, or you're going to let God use it. Amen. Choose you this day whom you'll serve, Simeon, Levi. The tribe of Simeon became the least of all the tribes. They dwindled and dwindled and dwindled and dwindled. Why? Because of this personality, because of this characteristic trait. One last place, look over in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 this evening. We know the story of Moses.
Here we have the great hall of faith. Verse 23 this evening. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because he saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, verse 24, Moses, when he was come to years, notice the next word, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What did Moses do? He purposed. He chose. He was in that place. He could have had that. Could have had all Egypt had to offer. But he purposed and he chose not to go that way. Tonight, I don't know how you're wired. I don't know what's inside of you. Well, I'm saved, preacher. Hallelujah. But what about this old flesh? What are you letting it do? Simeon and Levi, both of them. The character of anger. Brutish. One didn't let God use it. The other one did let God use it. What are you going to do with what you got? It's a choice. You got a purpose. You got to choose. Let's stand together this evening.